I want you to take just a moment and listen to these words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." You see, we've heard an awful lot about prophets in our readings tonight. And the life of God's prophet, I guess you could say, is never dull, and it's often perilous. The rejection, persecution, and ridicule of the prophet is the order of the day, both in the distant history of the Old Testament and in our own time as well. In the Gospel for today's Mass, St. Mark recounts the rejection of Jesus by the townspeople in his hometown of Nazareth. You see, Jesus knows by personal experience the treatment that prophets experience. Each of today's readings, I said, concern the prophets of God. So why don't we take a few moments and spend some time getting to know about them and their relevance to us today. So first off, what and who are the prophets? Well, a prophet is simply someone God has sent to us to deliver a message on God's behalf. Most Christians, I would guess most of you here, if I ask you about prophets, what you would think of, what would come to mind, would be the prophets of the Old Testament. And I believe that most of you have heard of Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and even Daniel. The church refers to these four prophets as the major prophets because of the length of their writings. Our first reading today was from the prophet Ezekiel, one of the major prophets. There are 12 other prophets that we refer to as minor prophets. These prophets are called minor because, well, the length of their written work is significantly shorter than that of the major prophets. These would include such famous prophets as Hosea and Jonah, Micah and Malachi. But there are many, many other Old Testament prophets who do not have books named after them. We sometimes refer to these prophets as the former prophets. And these would include great figures from salvation history, such as Abraham, Deborah, Elijah, Elisha, Nathan, and so many others. Indeed, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament was Moses. And he was the greatest, it is said, because he is said to have talked to God face to face and not by way of a vision. When God needs to get a message to us, guess what? He sends a prophet. The question is, how do we receive the prophets? Are they welcomed? Well, I think we can agree that the message God sends by way of his prophet is usually uncomfortable, and it is not at all what we want to hear. And we see this throughout the Old Testament. God's people, well, they would turn from their ways, and they would turn towards sin. And as they went towards sin, they would withdraw from God. And that's not a good thing to do. Sin has a terrible cost. And so people, as they withdraw from God and out from under his divine protection, experienced terrible consequences. And that's when God would send a prophet to them. First of all, to tell them why the bad things that were happening to them were happening. And then to make them aware of their sin. And they would also take the opportunity to let them know that it's going to get worse, not better, if you continue in your way. They would warn of future punishments and consequences if they did not repent and return or turn back toward God. Most of God's prophets were rejected by the very people he loved and sent them to. And many of these people that God loved, that he sent these prophets to, actually ended up killing the prophets. Ezekiel is a very interesting example of an Old Testament prophet. And in today's first reading, we see that Ezekiel has been called by God. You see, Ezekiel, first of all, you'd have to realize that Ezekiel was with other people from the house of Israel who were in captivity by the Babylonians, they were actually in Babylon along the banks of the river Kabar. And we see in the chapter just before our reading today that Ezekiel would begin receiving, seeing these visions. The important thing here is that even though God had brought about their exile, their captivity, because of their sin, he didn't abandon them. He was with them. Even into Babylon, God was with them, and he was going to speak to them through his holy prophet Ezekiel. So we read in today's reading that God sets Ezekiel upon his feet. He fills him with the Holy Spirit, and he gives him his message. That's so important. Let that sink in. Out of an abundance of love for his people, God raises up a prophet to help bring them to their senses. There will be no doubt that Ezekiel is a prophet. God says to him, look, some people are going to accept you and receive you. Some are going to reject you. Maybe most of them will reject you. But that's not your worry. Your worry is to deliver my message. And I guarantee you that there will be no doubt among the people that you are my prophet. Ezekiel prophesied the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of Solomon's temple. And this was in advance of that event. Although they were already taken into Babylon as captives, the people, they just weren't yet open to this message. And so they rejected. They didn't want to hear what Ezekiel had to say to them. God delivered very uncomfortable news through Ezekiel. Judgment and loss were visited upon the house of Israel as a consequence of their sin. If you haven't read, how many of you have read the entirety of the book of Ezekiel? Oh, that's very good. That's very good. I would encourage all of you to read the book of Ezekiel, because there's usually, in the case of a prophet, potential for good news to follow the bad, and that's certainly the case with Ezekiel. In later years, after Ezekiel had convicted the people of the house of Israel of their sin, after he had made them aware of their sin and its consequences, he now is able to begin preaching to them about the time of restoration. You see, they had learned from the outside, once the events had happened, that Jerusalem had indeed fallen. They had learned that the temple had indeed been destroyed. And so they were a bit more open to Ezekiel at this point. And Ezekiel begins telling them of the day when God would provide his consolations to them. If they would return to him, he would lift them up, bring them to new life, and restore them to Israel. One of the great passages of the Old Testament is the vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones found in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel foretells God's consolations and restoration as he breathes life, new life, into their dry bones. In Deuteronomy 18, we learn something important about the prophet Moses. You see, I said Moses was the greatest of the prophets. Well, in Deuteronomy 18, we found out that there would come a time in the future when God would raise up a new prophet who would be like Moses. Now, I want you to think about all the great prophets sent by God after the time of Moses. And as spectacular and as important as many of these were, none was like Moses. So at the time of Jesus, the people of Israel and Judah had been waiting for over a millennia for this great prophet to come. God had a surprise for his people. This great prophet had come as a small babe, born in a stable in Bethlehem. He, this is important, would be speaking on behalf of God, not just as a prophet of old would, but as God himself. The Father sent his only Son to speak on his behalf. So the great surprise was God himself came to deliver the prophecy. Yet in the gospel, we see that just like the prophets before him, Jesus was rejected by the people. We see this among his kinsmen and his fellow townspeople in Nazareth. They lacked faith. And this foreshadowed a broader rejection of Jesus by most of the house of Israel and their leaders. You see, these leaders and the people they would throw Jesus out of Jerusalem and kill him by hanging him on the cross. Jesus suffered the rejection so many before him had experienced. But what has all this to do with us today? God still speaks to us through his Son. The church teaches us that in times past, God spoke to us through his prophets. But in these, our times, even 2,000 years later, God speaks to us through his Son. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that God still speaks to us through his Son, because his Son has sent the Holy Spirit, and it is through his church and his saints that we learn what God wants to say to us today. We must not make the mistake of those who came before us, who rejected God's message and his prophet. Jesus observed the lack of faith of the people of Nazareth. Would he also see a lack of faith in us? I hope not. We must exercise our faith. It's an important understanding here. Faith is first a gift from God. If it's not given us by God, and it is, we wouldn't have it. But it is also an exercise of our own will. We must choose to receive God's message, embrace it, and live it if we want to experience life to the full in the beatitude of God. That's why the church teaches us that God's loving invitation demands our loving and faithful response. Now, here's another important point. When you were baptized, when all of us, each of us was baptized, we entered into the threefold office of priest, prophet, and king. Each of us is called by God through our baptism to be his witness in this world, carrying his message of good news to those he places in our life. Now, not each and every one of us, indeed not most of us, are going to be called to be prophets like the ones we've been talking about, but each of us have been called by God through our baptism to share the good news with others. We are to do this without fear or anxiety, and with confidence, and always with love and kindness and compassion. You see, God sets us on our feet. He fills us with his Holy Spirit, and he gives us his word to share. If you ever feel lacking, remember the vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones and surrender in trust to Jesus and ask him to send his Spirit to breathe life into you. And remember, in our second reading today, we haven't touched upon that at all at this point, but St. Paul learned very forcefully that it is in his weakness that God could make him strong, and the same thing is true to us. Our duty is to share the Lord. And I want you to get this. This is an extremely important point. It is our duty to share the Lord in charity. It is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to convert souls. I want you to think about that. It's not your job to convert souls. That belongs to the duty. That's the duty of the Holy Spirit. Your duty is to proclaim the good news. We must not show frustration or anger when people do not respond as we expect them to or want them to. We must simply remain faithful and love them. We need to pray to God that we will always be faithful. And then, it's so simple, whether we are received or rejected, we will be blessed, the blessed of God. God bless you.